If you're looking to get a new car, you could really cut expenses by bundling your car and renter's insurance with Progressive. Sure, you love your old car, but you know it's not normal to give instructions on how to open the window. It should be self-explanatory, but it's not. And notice how when you're in other people's cars, you can feel cushion in the seats? That's pretty nice, right? No, it's just normal. So bundle your renter's and car insurance with Progressive and put the savings toward a new car. It's time. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company coverage provided and serviced by affiliates and third-party insurers.
Welcome to Performance Anxiety, proud member of the Pantheon Podcast Network. This may be the funniest episode we've ever done. Today I'm joined by Mike Odd. Mike manages the multi-dimensional band Mack Sabbath. The band leader, Ronald Osborne, reimagines Black Sabbath songs to send a message about fast food that's simultaneously humorous and serious. Give the band a follow at Official Mack Sabbath. Follow us at Performance ANX on social media. Subscribe, review, rate, share even. And I'm not really sure what else I can say about this episode. I just kind of got to let this one speak for itself. So dig into Mike Odd and Mack Sabbath and enjoy.
Hey, hey, hey! This is Mike Odd, manager of Mack Sabbath, the mighty Mack Sabbath, and you're listening to Performance Anxiety. Check it.
So, thank you so much for doing this. This is one of the coolest interviews I've done. I've done over, I don't know if you had a chance to check the show out.
Don't say that yet.
Yeah. Well, okay, I'll put it this way. This is one of the coolest bands I've ever discussed on this show.
There we go. I'll accept that.
All right, and I've done over 100 episodes so far. So this is one of the coolest things I've ever talked about. So I'm really excited about this. This is really interesting. This is the first time I've ever spoken with anybody associated with a band from another. Time, era, dimension. I don't know. How do you explain where Mack Sabbath originated and how they got here?
Well, Ronald Osborne, he maintains that they travel in some sort of wormhole from the 1970s. This is what I have to deal with. To save the world from its current state of music and sustenance, you know, and bring us back to a time where, you know, food and rock was more organic. So, and that sounds like, oh, that's a great little fun little thing to say there. And it's like, no, you don't understand. This is what I'm dealing with somebody who believes this, who's stuck in a time warp, who does not acknowledge any technology past 1979.
Man.
And I am the one who was put in the position to,
man.
You know, be the sort of, what would you call that? What do you call that? Translator.
Oh, okay. That's one way to put it.
Between the modern world, between the modern folks and the not so together. not so modern thinking folks as far as these technologies are concerned. And so being the band manager and the guy who's trying to do publicity and make recordings and do things that involve possible MP3s and internet and stuff like that, it's very difficult for me. And he kind of seems to think that it's really funny to put me in this position. So yeah. There's this constant sort of bit going on, you know.
Oh, so before we get too deep into Max Sabbath. I want to know a little bit more about you too. You're their manager right now.
Yeah.
But you're also a musician yourself, right?
Well, we go as far as a musician. I sing for a band called Rosemary's Billy Goat, and next year it'll be 30 years with that band. So I've been with that band for most of my life. It's all, you know, it's a horror rock performance kind of costume over the top thing, and you know, I think that what made Ronald decide early on is he had read something that I had written that I'd said in the press about Black Sabbath, you know, not just being responsible for creating heavy metal, but being responsible for creating also punk rock and goth music and basically all counterculture music that all weirdos embrace, you know. So I think that's where he just, between that and the fact that I'm kind of connected in the, you know, in the Los Angeles area, you know, with like over the top horror rock stuff.
Okay.
I think that's what we decided, that I should be the manager, because, you know, before that, I didn't have any, it's not like I have this, you know, long roster of bands that I manage.
Okay.
I just, you know, sort of managing to keep my own band afloat, barely. But, yeah, so I thought that was a very strange choice, but I guess it was on that, those two things that made it make sense for him.
So he found so, kind of a kindred soul in you almost.
Yeah.
Okay.
Something like that.
Okay. So the band is made up of vocalist Ronald Osborne, the guitarist Slayer McCheese, bassist Grim Alice, also, which I've also heard him called, I Can't Believe It's Not Butler.
Yeah.
And and the drummer, the Cat Burglar, alternately known as Peter Chris Cut Fries. Is that
let's
the whole band?
Cat Burglar on that one, it seems safer.
And so, oh God, I don't even know where to go at this point. Do they all come from the same dimension? They all come at the same time? How did they all get here?
Well, that's a question for Ronald Osborne that honestly I find tends to vary a little bit. But from when I hear different things from him, but you know, I mean, you know, time travel must cause some sort of a
but not,
you know, I'm not going to hold him to everything down to the wire. So,
well, time travel can have a weird effect on your brain, I'm sure.
That's what I was trying to say. You know.
So when you first met Ronald, was the rest of the band there, or did they come later? How did you meet the rest of the band?
Yes and no. Okay. Well, what happened? Okay. I guess we're going to start at the beginning here. You know, they call me Mike Odd. Mike Odd. I used to have an oddities museum.
Okay.
And, in East Hollywood called the Rosemary's Billy Goat Auditorium. That's Rosemary's Billy Goat is also the name of my, horror rock band.
Right.
So the idea was to kind of make this space for, you know, to celebrate, you know, strange and weirdness and kind of bring together all these weird, strange people and have my band and the bands that my band associates with and the performance artists and the artists. And so it was an art gallery kind of a freak show museum style deal.
Okay.
Where I actually did have oddities. Now, when you have this kind of freak museum and oddities location, what happens is you put yourself into this strange world, but then after you're kind of over it, it's still following you around. And so I was still getting calls years after I closed down the brick and mortar version of the shop, you know, oh, come down to Pacoima to come out to my shed and I'm going to show you my two-headed otter skeleton, you know. And, you know, and I'm still a collector and I go and look at things. But, you know, and so I get this weird anonymous call that says, oh, come down to this burger place in Chatsworth. And it's going to change your life.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, change my life, huh? Really, there's going to be like a hamburger bun, the Virgin Mary toasted on it. And I'm going to make an offer to you, and you're going to decline and sell it on eBay. That's probably not going to change my life. But okay, right. I'm game. This is what I do now. So I go down to Chatsworth, and go to this hamburger selling franchise and I'm waiting around in this crazy tornado of a red and yellow clown with caked on Skeletor makeup, like comes in there like, you know, with dirty tassels, scrape on the ground, starts spewing these science fiction concepts all over everybody's lunch. And
oh my god,
it was quite the stunt. And both of us got thrown out of there. and then like, oh well, you got to come back at 3 a.m. when the real thing happens, and they're gonna have this place all open for me, and we're gonna have a very different welcome and a very different experience. And I was super intrigued, so you know, I didn't know if I was on a hidden camera show, but I was. So I go back there and there's this secret fight club thing happening with this backdoor secret password turnkey thing happening, and go get led down into this basement.
Oh my god, that means I'd be scared to death.
Well, you know, these are sort of adventures is what I was kind of all about. So I'm like pressed up against these packages of, you know, hamburger buns and freeze-dried condiments. And all of a sudden, on come these amplifiers, and I'm watching these mutated fast food mascots screaming and yelling about Monsanto and and GMOs, and there's lasers and...
Oh, my God.
And just slaying these Black Sabbath riffs, and like I was like, okay, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me. And then at the end, it was like, oh, well, you're going to be the manager. And I was thinking, no, I am not. But since it was so near and dear to my heart, it hit me so hard where I lived, I'm like, okay, I get it. These guys think that I, you know, they were like all only doing this as secret shows with have the secret employee thing happening. And we're like, it was completely all... totally underground and no phones and no technology and you know all that. And he was like, we wanted you to bring it above ground, like literally, and I was like, okay, I get it. They know that I can put them in a few clubs in LA and it'll get them started and that'll be it, you know, and, you know, whatever. And that's not what happened. It was like, no, you have to be the conduit between past and future and,
oh my gosh. Well,
fantasy and reality as I kind of think about it. But and to this day, you know, I don't, you know who this guy is.
Oh,
you know, so yeah, it's weird. So
yeah, that's a word for it.
Yeah. But next thing I know, it got such a reaction that before I had even taken them out of California, got an offer to go play a festival in England and play Download in Donington Park in England, and you know, playing this festival with Motley Crue and Kiss,
yeah,
and Slipknot, and then toured England, and then came back and played a festival in Golden Gate Park called Outside Land, where the band went on right before Elton John. And then I was like,
oh my,
okay, well, I guess I have a career now. And now it's been a full-time job for like 5 years.
Did any of the band members get to meet Elton John at all?
Not to my knowledge, but, you know, the fun thing is to keep Mike in the dark about everything. That's like the big fun joke. I'm sure you saw the picture of the band with Ozzy. Like I saw,
yes.
Like I came across the picture of the band with Ozzy.
Oh,
and
my.
I'm like, what is the deal? And then found out later about the video with Ozzy.
So they set that up without you?
Right.
Oh my God. Jeez. That's not cool.
Well, it's all part of the fun.
So they play variations of Black Sabbath songs. And so they've actually played for Ozzy then. Which I saw.
Correct.
I did see a video of them playing for Ozzy.
Right.
So you really don't know how they got that gig then, because since you didn't set it up.
No. There is a picture of everybody but the bass player with Geezer Butler. I did have something to do with that.
God. So now is there, how much of the history of the band do you know? Like, do you know how Ronald met the other members of the band?
No.
Oh my gosh. So they're just being as tight-lipped as they can about this. They don't even want you to know some of this stuff.
There's a lot of secrecy involved, and I'm told that, you know, we're only supposed to know so much because the space-time continuum and blah, blah, blah. You don't want to mess things up.
That old
the
thing.
The problem with technology and Ronald, and he can only, you know, he can't be around any technology because that could mess it all up. I'm not quite sure if it works more like a Doc Brown or Rick and Morty, but I'm trying to sort that out.
I mean, I can understand why this is a full-time job now.
Right. Yeah, who knew there was going to be quantum physics involved?
Exactly. I skipped that day in high school. So now, do you know? Are all the band's members from the same dimension then?
You don't have to take up that with Ronald. I think that's the idea.
Okay. And so maybe you can tell me this. How many songs are in their repertoire currently, I guess?
That's an interesting question for you to bring up right now. It's like if there's any criticism that I've got from fans, and we do encourage constructive criticism, it's like, oh, you know, well, you guys don't play blah, blah, blah anymore, and you don't play blah, blah, blah anymore. And it's just like, well, you know, it's a thing with a band. You know, you're constantly getting new material and wanting to play old material, mm-hmm. and wanting to cycle all that. and I have this person, you know, say, hey, you've been doing the same set for 5 years, and you know, if you don't do something new soon, you won't be relevant, or blah, blah. And I was like, okay, that's the first time anybody's ever said that. And as the manager, I know for a fact that there are only four songs on the set that was being played in the tour in 2019 that were being played in the tour in 2015. Wow. And one of those songs is recently re-added to the set because people were complaining that they weren't playing enough old songs. So really, that before that, it was three songs. So three standards within a rotating, probably a couple dozen songs, depending on what you consider to be a song. And making room for new material and those couple dozen songs rotating. So every show you go to, you hear new songs and songs that you haven't never heard before. In my opinion, this band is more worth going to see multiple times than almost any band that I can think of outside of the Grateful Dead. Ooh. Because they're playing more different songs every time, whether they're older or new songs.
Now, are they committed?
Every time you see it.
Are they committed, you know, solely to the Ozzy years of the?
I don't know for a fact that is a fact, but judging by that video that we all saw, I'd say that camp would definitely be the strong camp, wouldn't you say?
I would. But I was just curious. You know, yeah, I gotta ask the questions. You know, the public wants to know this kind of stuff. So have they ever attempted a song that didn't work out of that era of Sabbath, like Junior's Eyes or Johnny Blade? You know, something from the later era that maybe didn't.
Oh, Junior's Fries.
Oh, damn it. See, that's fantastic.
Oh. I don't think Junior's Fries really worked out. There was another one that they actually, I have seen them play that they haven't played in a long, long time, Never Say Diet.
See, I'm only going on what I've been able to find on YouTube. So, unfortunately,
yeah,
not all that's up there.
It might be hard to find, but I can guarantee you Junior's Fries is impossible to find.
So in a typical show, how many songs do they play during a set?
Well, those songs tend to be very, very long songs. When you think about what a modern rock song is like, mm-hmm. they're very long songs. So they can only play so many of those songs in completion. But then they tend to, you know, dabble here and there and do medleys and pieces of songs and stuff like that. So
okay.
Well, I don't really have an answer.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
All right, I've got a question. So I know Ronald Osborne comes from the past. He's from basically from the 70s.
Right.
What are his feelings on the nugget?
Well, something we haven't really addressed yet is you know, although Max Sabbath claims to have coined the genre drive-thru metal.
Yes.
They do not condone a drive-thru lifestyle. Much like, as Ronald said, much like Black Sabbath was there, is here, I should say, to warn the world to warn the world about evil. Max Sabbath is here to warn the world about the evils of fast food.
Okay.
And to investigate what you're eating and be very aware of Monsanto and GMOs, and to If you know, when you go to the show, it's just really super fun. And it's not preachy in any way. But if you take the lyrics, which aren't easy to find, and dissect them, it gets into some pretty heavy stuff.
He's yes.
really heavily trying to expose, you know, some chemicals and practices that are going on in fast food that are super nasty in this yes. in this country in particular. Mentions chemicals. I think there's one. I don't quote me on this. I think it might be diazocarbonamide. I'm not real good with 17 syllable words.
Yeah.
But I can tell you that word is an entire line of syllables in one song, and what that is some sort of chemical that is in almost all fast food buns, hamburger buns, in the United States, and is illegal in every other country.
Wow.
And is considered poison. And I believe it's what they use to make yoga mats out of.
Oh, geez.
From the research that I looked up, and I'm saying, do your own research, look it up yourself. These are the kind of things that you can find if you look in the Max Sabbath lyrics.
Right.
So he's very serious about trying to get this message out and trying to get it out to younger people. And in doing so, there's no themes in there that are adult in nature.
Right.
Because he's always trying to make sure that it's a kid-friendly band so the kids can get the messages as well.
And that's one of the things I noticed that I thought was it was just awesome, was that it is a very family friendly show, basically.
It is.
So is Ronald's assertion that fast food is all bad and it has always been bad, or is it that it was better in the 70s where he's from?
I think it was. I think the general idea is it was always bad, but it's gotten a heck of a lot worse.
I can get on that bandwagon.
Right.
I can definitely get on that. Now, another first for me, besides drive-through metal in and of itself, was the amazing VR360 video that I saw. Like the one of More Ribs. Was awesome. So he's from the 70s, but they're like right on the cutting edge of technology.
Well, he doesn't know that that happened.
Oh.
You know, he keeps stuff from me, I keep stuff from him. That's the way this relationship works. But I'm so happy that you were able to do that and get that going and put the and get that going in the proper goggles and all that.
I'm telling you, it was crazy. But that brings me to my next question. How often does the Lizard join the band on tour?
That's a relatively new thing. So it remains to be seen if that's going to be, completely regular or not. That was a brand new thing. This last tour is very exciting. Did you see that new video that came up on the
yes.
Facebook there? Yeah.
Yes, that was awesome.
Yeah. need to have a new song that's so new and so old.
Yeah. Now, is the Lizard just going to be a guest appearance when they do the song, or is he actually joining the band?
Well, I guess that remains to be seen how that is.
That's fair.
I'm so glad that you brought up the Max Sabbath virtual reality. That is definitely something that people should look into. Maybe you'd be better at me at telling these folks how to view that.
I viewed it right on my phone, and it was incredible. It was a virtual reality.
Oh, you don't have to have some sort of special goggles or something for that?
No, believe it or not, you don't have to have those blue and red goggles. No, they didn't even need to. I didn't even need those. Unless maybe it was my eyes. One's blue, one's red. I don't know. But it was incredible. I definitely recommend everybody see it, because basically what I did was looked up the song More Ribs for Max Sabbath, and there was a VR 360 video of it. And if you're just watching it, you can move the phone around, you can move around, and it shows you a completely 360 degree view of the show, and it's amazing.
Well, I viewed it on some sort of a cardboard folding thing.
A ViewMaster, maybe.
I don't know.
No, it wasn't the ViewMaster.
But I think it's a lot better if you do what it these sort of viewers, is I think is what I'm trying to tell you. The viewer that I don't know how to tell you what it is.
Okay, so in a typical Max Sabbath show, how many songs do they play, and how long is the show?
The show tends to be usually somewhere between an hour and an hour and a half.
Wow, that's awesome.
Usually right in there, right in the middle of that. Yeah, but it could be as short as an hour, could be as long as an hour and a half.
Okay.
If it's short, I don't think it's ever shorter than an hour, and I don't think it's ever 2 hours.
Okay.
So.
Has Ronald given you any idea what the band thinks about officially being recognized as existing by Black Sabbath?
No. I mean, all that stuff lies in the, you know, in the whole thing that happened with Ozzy and everything.
Right.
And so there was quite a bit of when that all came together, things weren't super civil, so we weren't really talking about it in that sort of way.
Okay. But now Black Sabbath did post one of their songs online, I believe. So they've
Oh, you're talking about that. Yeah, for sure.
So,
as early as 2015, Black Sabbath posted Max Sabbath on social media.
Yeah.
And then I believe they did it again, I believe, in 2019.
Oh, cool.
So there seems to be a lot of love there, which is really nice.
So did the band like that?
What the first time that it happened, you know, that video, that original video that I had filmed of them playing that zombie walk in Long Beach, you know, when things were really, really at the infancy, you know, that video is just ridiculous in my opinion. But boy, Black Sabbath posting it, didn't it get it out to, you know, tens of millions of people? It got that out to tens of millions of the right people.
Yes.
That's what made that video go crazy and get over a million hits. And that's why, you know, all of a sudden they were wanted in, you know, big festivals in England and stuff. That's what put them on the map, is Black Sabbath. I mean, I'll go as far to say as without Black Sabbath, there would be no Max Sabbath.
Oh, man. I don't, that's... You know, that's kind of, I think that's a little far-fetched. I don't know.
Right? I don't know.
You might be stretching it a little bit with that one.
I don't know. I'm feeling generous.
So do you know anything about their practice habits? Do they all live together in the 70s? And is that where they practice?
That's how it works in my head. They're like in some, you know, enchanted forest with, you know, veggie burgers growing on trees or something. I don't know. So, and they have orange amps and lemon amps and cherry amps, you know.
Oh man. So
that's the way that I've been.
So hopefully I would do they tour nationwide? I know they went overseas, but they play a lot in California.
Oh yeah, there's a big national tour or two, you know, every year, big national tour, every year, except for this year, for some weird reason.
Yeah.
I'm sure there will be one next year.
I know that they've got some, I want to go through some of the songs in a minute, but I know that they've got some, I don't want to say competition, because honestly, I don't think anybody comes close. But they...
Oh, you're talking about the other drive-through metal bands that Ronald's always on about, like Burger King Diamond and
exactly.
Pantera Bread and KFC DC.
Exactly. Not even out of those guys, but has there been a band that Max Sabbath has toured with that was just atrocious? What's been their worst touring experience?
No. Terrible thing. No. We've been very lucky to be aligned with some really, really great acts. This last one was Oakley Dokley and Playboy Man Baby, and I can't think of enough good things to say about either of those guys. Toured with Metalachi and Galactic Empire. Okay. Yeah, Clownvis Presley. Yeah, so we've been so lucky, and more real weird stuff to come, you know, that we're working on keeping it. We try to keep it, you know, as much of a circus as possible every time, you know. So people can be exposed to new and strange things. And that's what it's all about, you know.
Oh yeah.
But we're not trying to tour with, you know, a Bon Jovi or something, you know. No. I mean, that's not
right.
Really a thing, you know.
Or KFC DC.
Yeah.
I would not recommend anybody see them.
Right.
Stick with Max Sabbath.
Right. Although KFC DC has approached me for managerial, we'll see.
Really? Oh, okay. We'll keep that one on the down low, though.
You know what? Maybe I'll maybe cross that off.
Yeah.
This isn't going to come out in like a newspaper print, is it?
No. Nobody listens to this show.
Oh, then it's probably fine.
Nobody listens to this show anyway. It's okay.
Oh, perfect.
So the main message is, what is the main message, really? Because I'm looking at some songs here. So there's Parabuns.
It has a very anti fast food, pro health food, you know, pro organic, you know, pro knowledge, pro. Do some research and figure out what you're eating. Find the Easter eggs and look up these things that he's talking about in songs like Organic Funeral and GMO Blind, and do some research based off these lyrics and draw your own conclusions for your own health and well-being and your thoughts about the country and the U.S. in particular where they tend to tour. And where the message is most important about the government and sustenance and how it's all connected.
Okay.
And listen to Black Sabbath.
Oh, there you go. How big is this genre? Because I've heard of Burger King Diamond, Cinnabon Jovi, Pantera Bread, Iggy Popeyes, KFC DC. It seems like this genre is growing. But Max Sabbath is the originators. They're the original, they're the OGs of drive-through metal.
Right. right.
How do they feel about some of these other bands?
He hears about bands like Iron Maiden, he gets kind of offended, and then he gets launches into the sort of like aggressive behavior that's not always good for me.
Oh, well, so, yeah. Now, has Ronald told you how he met the rest of the members of the band?
No, we haven't gone into that. But what I was going to say was I was reading a post, and I wish I had written down who this person was so I could quote him. To paraphrase, he was saying it was some post from somebody named like Steel Razor Metalhead or whatever. You know what I mean? He had this very heavy metal moniker, and the thing that he wrote was, he says, I got turned on to Black Sabbath through Max Sabbath, and I got turned on to heavy metal through Black Sabbath, so I'm saying that it's Black Sabbath is responsible to this day for me being a metalhead.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, you know, I thought that, you know, maybe some kids who were interested in rock and big, fluffy, cute costumes were going to be inspired to maybe learn some things about, you know, health food. And that was the most that I had ever thought that the positive message could go. But to think that people are actually, you know, being turned on to Black Sabbath and everything that they started through Black Sabbath, that goes way beyond my expectations. So I'm very, you know, happy about that.
That kind of blew my mind when you just said that.
Yeah. I was like, wow, maybe I am doing God's work after all.
Yeah. All right, so I know I've heard Zakk Wylde is a fan. Now, is Max Sabbath open to doing any type of collaboration with somebody like Zakk, maybe?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that was another great moment when Zakk mentioned in an interview that he thought that Zakk Sabbath and Max Sabbath would be great on a tour together. We're still waiting for that call, Zakk.
Yeah. After this
just
episode,
like a lot of Sabbath in one night for me, you know.
You after this
some
show
people
airs,
might say, but boy, we're game.
Yeah,
man, that would be amazing.
Well, after this show airs, prepare to wait some more.
Zakk Sabbath is incredible. If you haven't seen him, they're incredible.
I have not, but you sound like the authority, so I will definitely check that out on your word.
I was fortunate enough to be able to see Zakk Sabbath play from a swimming pool. I was inside a swimming pool watching Zakk Sabbath, and that was a really great moment in my
damn, that's awesome.
Psycho Fest in Las Vegas is a really great festival, that doom metal festival that Max Sabbath played the first one. And I've gone to every festival since then, and it's one of my favorite festivals in the world.
Oh, man. Are there any plans to license the band so that there's one in, like, every town in America?
Well, that sounds like, you know, the kind of franchising sort of behavior that causes food and music to be crappy in the first place, doesn't it?
That you're right. I take it all back. That was a horrible idea. I apologize profusely to Ronald, to Cat Burglar, Slayer McCheese, and Grim Alice.
Oh, believe me, it's not like that's the first time I've ever heard that come up in a meeting.
I'll bet. But, I never said this show was original. What has the band been doing right now? We're all kind of in a lockdown phase. Are they just kind of taking it easy, waiting for things to open up so they can get on the road again?
Well, my assumption right now is that they are in a date of time that isn't dealing with everything that we're dealing with right now. So
okay.
We can all be very jealous of them.
I already am. I mean, if I could be a band member, I would. I don't know who I would be, but man, they're just amazing. I absolutely love. In fact, I hope you guys can make it over to the East Coast at some point, because I live just outside of DC and I'm dying to see you guys.
That sounds great. My estimation at this point is that's going to be a next year thing, you know?
Okay. I will have to stay in touch with you, because I'm coming to a show and I'm bringing my camera and I'm going to beg you for a photo pass, because I used to be a pro photographer.
Yeah, I mean, played at the Black Cat more times than I can remember.
Oh yeah. That place is, that's an interesting place to shoot. I'll tell you, I shot a couple
place.
It's pretty neat. That, you know, the 930 still open. There's a whole bunch of awesome places for him to play in DC.
Yeah.
So, man, I know I've kept you for a while, and I don't know what the band has you doing at this point, since they're kind of back in their dimension, and we're in a weird space in our dimension. So,
yeah. I'm working on negotiating those two things together. Speaking of, I'm going to have to get back to that pretty soon.
Yeah, well, look, I just want to thank you so much. Where can people find Max Havoc? Because I've only been able to find a few. I haven't been able to find all the music. I mean, is there a place I can download it?
It's hard to find. The music is hard to find because, like I said, as a band manager who has to deal with a time traveling clown who doesn't allow for technology to go past 79. What I've been able to do so far is get a flexi disc, which is like a children's record album from a Cheerio box in the 1970s, inside of a coloring book, and that's available on officialmaxsabbath.com, And you can also find out, you know, all stuff about the band on, you know, all the social media.
Oh, that is fantastic. And so they're on social media, and how can people find, what are their handles on social media?
Well, depending on what it is, it's either Official Max Sabbath, if some punk kid got there first, or it's Max Sabbath, depending on... try Official Max Sabbath, try Max Sabbath, depending on which... you know, outlet it is, and they're on everything. You know?
And I guarantee you'll know which one's the right one when you see it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, man, Mike, thank you so much for spending so much time and explaining a little bit about the phenomenon that is Max Sabbath. I cannot wait for them to hit the road again so I can check out this incredible live show in the flesh.
Sounds great. Can't wait either. I'll probably see you at the Black Cat, I'm guessing.
Progressive presents Adjusting to the Suburbs. You used to associate crickets with silence. But since you bought a house in the suburbs, you know crickets hate silence. If any other creature realized rubbing its legs together made a piercing, high-pitched noise, they might think, maybe I won't do that. Constantly. All night long. Luckily, you can save with Progressive by bundling your home and auto. Now that's something to make noise about. Just not constantly. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. Coverage provided and serviced by affiliates and third-party insurers.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.